If you haven't heard of esports by now, chances are you don't have a kid or a grandkid. Esports basically is video game-based competitions where teams of players compete against other teams. Esports is very popular. The top-level competitions fill stadiums to watch the action live and draw millions to watch them online. That is not hyperbole. This is not just kids sitting mindlessly in front of a computer screen mashing buttons either. There's work and preparation involved with these teams, practicing with your teammates to know their tendencies, scouting your opponent, classroom sessions where teams develop strategies. It's not Mario Brothers. For the esports team at Oswego High School, head coach Ed Kahn even has his team run laps to get the blood flowing. He's an assistant soccer coach as well, after all. Given the popularity, it's only a matter of time before the IHSA would get involved and regulate this interscholastic competition. The IHSA being the Illinois High School Association, the high school sports governing body here in the state. I sat down with Coach Ed Kahn to talk about the state of esports in Illinois high schools, if and when it will be sanctioned by the IHSA, and all things related to interscholastic esports. I started off by asking him, what came first for him, video games or soccer?
Well, for me personally, growing up, I've played soccer since kindergarten.
Sure.
And then being hired on as a teacher at Oswego High School, there really wasn't a soccer opening. So then I had some kids approach me, because at the beginning of every year, you do like the get to know your teacher. And I said that, you know, I play video games competitively, you know, and stuff like that. And so kids approached me. So esports came first, and then the ability to jump on as the JV soccer coach came up second. So
very cool. So let's talk esports a little bit. Preconceived notions, and I don't mean to pick on any specific generation, but it seems more it's a young people's thing. So when the older generation hears esports, I think that all they hear is kids sitting in front of a screen and playing video games mindlessly. That's not right. It's not accurate.
Yeah, it's hard. When we started our program, and we have a very supportive district, school, parents, things like that, but there was a lot of apprehension, because I think that's what most people think. Like, why would we need to make a club at school for kids to play video games? Isn't that what they're doing at 3 o'clock in the morning instead of doing their homework? And and I think, and even for some of the kids, how we've gone about structuring the program and how we operate and how we carry ourselves, you have to do it the right way. For example, last year we started, when we'd practice at school, we'd start every practice with physical exercise, running laps, push-ups, sit-ups, things like
that. Your esports team.
Yeah. It's something that you wouldn't traditionally think would be important, right? Like,
do you tell the kids it's good for your brain? Is that why?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially since our practices would be like right after school, they've been sitting all day. Like, you have to get the blood flowing. You have to, you know, it's all connected, right? It's not just, you know, your reaction time in a video game. Like, if your body is starting to slow down because you haven't had any movement or you're not feeding yourself the right things, it's going to negatively impact your performance.
And we're talking about this because the IHSA, the same organization that governs baseball and basketball and football and everything else, is thinking about adding esports as an officially sanctioned sport activity. Use whatever phrase you want to use. It doesn't matter. But there's going to be a hopefully, there'll be a state championship. There'll be rules and regulations. Why does esports belong in the same category as football, baseball, and basketball?
It's a competition, mm-hmm. but is it athletics? No, I can see that argument. Mm-hmm. But what I think is having that organized format and having a body like the IHSA, who has their hands in all the other sports and activities, makes it uniform. Validates it to a degree.
To a big degree.
Yeah, and I think for schools who are kind of on the edge, there's an organization that already kind of exists. It's called the IHSEA. So it's the esports version of it.
A group of
teachers. I helped at the beginning, but then coaching soccer had to take a step away.
Sure.
They had their first season last year, and that sort of helped give direction and kind of start that validation process. But you have the IHSA, right? I mean, there's no school in Illinois that doesn't have a sport or an activity that isn't impacted by that.
If the IHSA says that this is a sport, there's no one else can say that it's not.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue at that point when that governing body says that.
And I just want to say, real quick, too, before we go on, we're not making the case that esports or video games is a sport, whatever dictionary definition term that you use. I think what the point is it's not just sitting there and playing a video game for no reason. Maybe let's phrase it like this. What similarities are there between an esport participant and a baseball player? How do those two things correlate?
Well, one, I think the most transparent one, and I think the largest esports out there that you'd see, whether that's like League of Legends or Overwatch or something like that, it's teamwork, right? There's no one person who's going to carry the other people on their team. Doesn't matter how good you are, if you as a unit cannot work together to achieve whatever goal needs to take place, you're not going to be successful.
So what you're saying, it's a team game?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we need to explain exactly how competitions work.
The competition, so in the past, actually, Oswego and Oswego East, we host a League of Legends tournament.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is schools will kind of get together their 5 to 10 kids, however big their roster is,
sure.
and say, okay, I would like to participate in the varsity tournament.
Yes.
So then what happens is it's just like regular sports, right? So if you're like a huge like March Madness fan, right, and you fill out the brackets, it looks the same way for esports, right?
Okay.
So maybe... some big schools that we've seen, Jones College Prep, Oswego East, Morris, Taft High School. So maybe it's like Morris versus Taft High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just be any sort of, you could do like best of threes, best of ones,
okay.
Any sort of...
Any format you want.
Mm-hmm. You play out the match, winner moves on, loser is done, and it mirrors the same way we do competitions for a state series for football, right? Your end of season record will, you know, determine who you go up against and things like that. So in a lot of facets, it looks just the same way as you would see in a regular tournament.
So maybe we need to talk about too is what game you play and how that game is formatted, because it's not just sitting there alone playing Tetris or something like that, right? So what is there one or are there multiple games that you guys play and how does it all work?
So for Oswego High School, we have both League of Legends and Overwatch,
okay.
Made by two different companies. League of Legends made by Riot Games. That is a 5-on-5, what's called a MOBA.
A MOBA,
MOBA. That's okay. A massively online battle arena. So it's a 5-on-5 match.
Okay.
Both teams will have bases, and you have to work together to essentially destroy the other team's base. I think
sure.
is the most simple way to do it. And there's different ways you can do it. In League of Legends, there's... over 150, I think, at this point, playable characters you can choose. Each mm-hmm. character has a set of abilities,
sure.
strengths, weaknesses. And so when you're going to get ready into the game, both teams are in a lobby. There's a pick and ban phase, so both teams will take turns banning out champions that they do not want to see,
okay.
and picking champions that they want to play.
Champions is just the character?
Yeah, that's okay. the character in that game. That's okay. what they're called.
Gotcha.
And so the game a lot of time can be won and lost just in that opening strategy. So when you look at like an esports program, you might have esports athletes who sit down and play. But some schools, for us as coach, I do a lot of the picking and banning. But even still, some kids in programs, they take up coaching responsibilities.
Okay. My wheels are turning now because I'm starting to see where this is more of a competition activity. If you don't want to call it a sport, fine. There's strategy when it comes to picking your players, depending on how good maybe your actual kids are with those particular players, how those players that you do choose match up against the other team. Is there scouting involved? Do you scout other teams?
Yes. So that's something that like... when you see teams... So a lot of times... So in the games, there are a lot of like... there's ranking system, right? How good you are as an individual.
Okay.
And people can be intimidated by that, but
sure.
but ways teams who maybe aren't as good, or you're just as good as another team and you're trying to find an edge, it's the same thing with like football. You know, at the end of the week, you're going to go and you're going to look at tape on who you're going to play next week.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a weakness that, you know, historically they have. How can I exploit that? You're going to do the same thing with esports.
This is fantastic. Okay, so if Oswego and Oswego East are playing, you guys are probably pretty familiar with each other. You know exactly who the kids are on the other team, and you've seen some tape of their past performances. You know, if they're going to try to destroy your base, they typically like to do it in this kind of fashion. I could see the X's and O's up on a chalkboard, just like in a football game here.
Yeah, actually, so the way our program works is last year we did it on Mondays, right? And that was we don't touch keyboards and mice, right? I'll project, you know, film up onto like an actual replay of either their game or another game. Uh-huh. And we walk through like, hey, what you did here in this next 10 seconds doesn't just impact these 10 seconds. It's going to be the next 5 minutes, uh-huh. right? And so kids start understanding there's a difference. Some of it is called micro and some of it's called macro gameplay. Mm-hmm. Micro is just very technically maybe me versus you mm-hmm. playing against each other. How do I use my abilities and how do I move my character to interact with an enemy? But the way you get better is understanding the macro, right? How do those X's and O's impact yeah. what's going on the other side of the map?
So it's as much a mental game and preparation and strategy and practicing and knowing your teammate next to you and what he's going to do in any particular situation. Exactly what I just said could apply to any sport. It's as a football player, I need to know that my receiver is going to cut in when we run this particular play. You need to know as an esports player that your partner is going to perform this particular action at this particular time.
Correct. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now that I'm getting a much clearer picture of what's going on, you can start to see why this should be a sanctioned IHSA activity, why it makes perfect sense for high schools to compete against each other. And we haven't even mentioned the fact that this goes beyond high school. There's scholarship offers that are starting to build at the next level. So there's kids who maybe aren't as athletically gifted who still can compete for athletic scholarships, right?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that really, support of district, school, parents, but it really started opening their eyes. We've actually had 4 students go on over the last 2 years go on to play at the next level, and parents kind of come up to me and they're like, I thought he was just lying to me. I thought he was just trying to get out of, you know, doing chores or whatever.
Mom, I can get money for college.
Yeah, and I think that changes people's perspective on, like, you know, the seriousness of it. And a lot of it has to do with conveying that to the actual student, saying like, hey, if this is more of a, so our esports club at OHS, there's 2 parts to it, right? There's more of a casual where we'll meet like once or twice a month, hang out, talk about video games.
Competitive and intramural.
Yeah. And then there's a competitive facet where when you walk through that door, we're here to focus, participate.
And win.
And win. Yeah. And I think when you can get a group of kids who are kind of buying into that, you can see some pretty amazing things.
How much opportunity is there for football players? If you're looking to play in college, chances aren't great you're going to get a scholarship. Where is it at with esports?
I think esports has the unique ability to touch almost any academic building, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, high school, college, right? Because you don't, as like an institution, right? If I'm a college, maybe a smaller, if for athletics, I might be D3. So my facilities, I'm not going to have facilities as good as, you know, Michigan. So it's going to be hard for me to kind of get kids who are that good to come to my school.
Hard to recruit, yeah.
For esports, I mean, you could make a lab that has 20 computers in it. Each computer, sure, I'll drop $3,000 on it. But the cost of that computer lab is a drop in the bucket compared to like a full athletic facility. So colleges who are, so if we look at
what a great point.
So if you look at the League of Legends, just had their collegiate kind of like tournament wrap up, I believe this past weekend. You had Maryville, right, which is in Missouri. You had Columbia College, which is in Missouri. 2 tiny colleges that up until esports came up, very small population of people knew of those colleges. Same thing for, I think the biggest school that was in the Final Four was like U of I. And then you had University of California, Irvine. So UC Irvine. Those are the 2 biggest schools. I think it opens the door for colleges to reach out to more kids and more kids to have more opportunities.
This makes so much sense for a high school to get on board. What percentage of local high school or schools do you think have a team? You don't have to give me a certain number, but a lot, a little.
I think the hardest part about answering that question is like, in what capacity?
In the competitive, these kids might play at the next level capacity.
I think.
In the capacity that you perform at.
I think Illinois, as specifically this kind of, you know, Fox Valley region, we have quite a few.
I think what I read was Oswego East, Waubonsie Valley.
Yes.
I think they had one.
Matea Valley has one. I'm trying to think of other ones. Okay. Close, Morris has one.
Which I love because they're more of a rural school and they're getting on this train. That's great.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where it's like schools realize that, like, when we first started this, God, it was like 2 or 3 years ago at this point, most of our competition was like some random high school in like Texas. And we're like, we've never even, it was almost a joke, like, okay, let's pull up Google Maps now and see who we're playing now. But now, especially with the IHSEA and like talks of the IHSA, I mean, you're going to, the same schools that your, you know, football team is going to play, you guys could play that same week.
So at some point, hopefully in the very near future, we're going to start getting conferences. We're going to start getting divisions. We're going to have conference champions that move on to play in the state tournament, all online. And what I think, what's going to make esports as popular as any other sport, it comes down to money. I think, like you said, how do you get mom and dad on board? Well, we got scholarships. Okay, they're in because they're going to save $50,000 potentially.
Right.
How do you get a school on board? Well, it's way cheaper to field an esports team than literally any other on-field team because there's no travel expense. You don't have to pay for uniforms, although you are wearing a very sharp Oswego High School esports uniform, which I dig. There's the one-time cost of the technology, I'd imagine, but outside of that, besides maintaining that technology, there's not much cost.
Yeah, no, and even for some schools and programs who may not have the money or the technology there, all of these kids have this equipment and things at home. So even if it's something where like you have to do a portion of your practices remotely, the kids, it's something where the kids bring in a lot of the tools and things needed to field their own success, you know what I mean? Like, very rarely do you have to be like, oh, this kid doesn't have, you know, a keyboard at home. I've got to try and figure out a solution to that because these kids bring in that passion outside because they already are doing it. So
is there that accessibility? If I'm a kid, maybe I don't have the means as some other kids and, hey, coach, I'd really like to give this a shot, except I don't have all this stuff at home. Can you help that kid?
So for us personally, we've problem solved some of those issues. A lot of it, again, is trying to find ways to do a lot of the practices or competitions at school. As someone who plays video games a lot more than probably my fiance would like me to, I have a lot of these materials, like extra keyboards, extra headsets, extra mice. So if it's a problem like that, that's a pretty easy fix. I can just give an extra peripheral to a kid. But yeah, with the ability to do a lot of the competitions and stuff, Oswego, we've done a couple actual like viewing parties where the team has played down the hall in a computer lab, and I've had another teacher sit in a room and kids have brought in a TV and actually watched the same competition down the hall.
And there's people thinking like, why would kids want to watch other kids play video games? We can't underestimate the popularity of this right now. Online viewership of some of these major tournaments are in the tens of millions. They pack stadiums full of kids to play these esports. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I explain this, am I?
No. It's actually, there's some graphics online that show like what League of Legends, what Riot's first tournament was. And it was essentially a kind of like a video game conference, similar to like an E3 that just took place, right? Where it was like a small room off to the side, right? And now, I mean, the last world championship was, I believe, in South Korea, and they filled up an entire athletic stadium full of people to come and watch 10 total people play three hours worth of video games, and people will flock from everywhere to come see this stuff.
It's a sport. I mean, and maybe the, you know, participants are digital, but you're still watching brains at work. And maybe it's not physical in nature, but you're still seeing the strategy, the practice, the teamwork, the dedication that they put in beforehand manifest itself before you on the screen. And it's not much different than watching the NBA finals that we just watched on TV. The only difference is you take a little bit of the, well, a lot of the athleticism out, let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of competition. But there's no underestimating the popularity of it right now. So if people are just scoffing at this and saying it's not going to happen, it's just kids playing video games, it's not. I've been following it for a while, and I'm pretty excited to see where it ends up. Any kind of predictions on how long it's going to take before we see the first state champion in Illinois in esports? How does that process work? Maybe it's a better way to answer that.
So, I mean, like I said, there's already somewhat of a framework now with the IHSEA, and that, I mean, even...
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. Is the IHSEA actually related to the IHSA, or is it just in name?
No, in name, it's pretty similar. I know that some of the people in charge of that organization have had conversations, like just showing like, hey, this is what we do.
Yeah.
I think it is a platform in which I think one of the main goals of the IHSEA is to bring awareness to the IHSA and show like, hey, there is a group of people who are interested in this.
The hard work is already done, IHSA. Here's how you do it. Here's the textbook.
Yeah. And I think that's... And like I said, I had helped originally with it, but obviously with other responsibilities had to take a step back. But I think that especially at its core, that was the idea, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of tournaments and organizations that kind of spring up that are like, oh, well, if you want to be part of our competition, it's going to cost, you know, $200 a team to participate. So do I as the teacher, as the coach, have to pay that? Do I turn around and charge, you know, each of my kids that amount of money? Like it becomes a very tricky thing when you don't have established organizations stepping up and saying like, hey, this will kind of fall into our fold. And I think that's what makes parents and schools and stuff a little nervous when, you know, you're going to have to, there's a buy-in for these tournaments and cash prizes.
It gets sanctioned by the IHSA, that all gets ironed out.
It's far more transparent. It's something that like, oh, one of my kids plays volleyball, right? Mm-hmm. And I can see at the end of her season, they won regionals. They have a regionals plaque for their school. My other kid plays competitive League of Legends. At the end of his season, they won regionals. Yep. They have the same thing.
And on the other side of things, too, there's going to be academic requirements.
Correct.
You need to hold a certain GPA to play on the football team. You're going to need to hold a certain GPA to play on the esports team.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, that...
I'm willing to bet, though, that the esports players have a pretty decent academic.
Yeah, I have. I've had very few. A combination between the group of kids and how strict I am on that, because, like I said, my first job is teaching. Yeah. So academics is very important, but holding those, and parents feel better too. Like if a program's saying like, hey, I'm holding your student to, they actually signed a contract for me saying that academics comes first and you will not sacrifice like social responsibilities to say, oh, well, you know, Coach Can wants me to go practice, so I can't go to grandma's birthday party. Sorry. You know, like it's very transparent and it kind of helps.
If my kid was playing these games, I'd want them to play for my school's team because of the not the restrictions. What's the word I'm looking for? The guidelines, the structure. Is
and it holds them accountable for what they're doing and how they're spending that time, I guess.
Quickly, where is esports at with the IHSA, and what is the feedback you've gotten from the IHSA?
I think it's something
that you've heard.
I think the biggest thing that you can see is that there's definite interest there. I think the IHSA wants to be careful and do it the right way the first time. I think the unique issue with esports is that it's not one game. Mm-hmm. It's not, so like our school actually has two different games that we play competitively.
Yep,
we play League of Legends and then we play Overwatch.
Yeah.
So for esports, how do you do that? Yeah. Do you have multiple different game titles that kids compete in? You can do that. It's essentially the same the same process applied over many different titles. But I think they want to do it the right way the first time. Because like you said, there's a validation that comes along with the IHSA saying, stamping it, yes, approved, we're gonna take responsibility for this.
And I'd imagine that as a coach and a person that's fully invested in esports, you're willing to bend a lot to get the IHSA to put that stamp of approval. Like, we'll start as slow as you want because we can build as we go, but let's go ahead and start.
Yeah, right? And I think that's where, like, organizations like the IHSA saying, like, hey, we'll build the structure, right? We'll show you the interest level. We'll do kind of the grunt work of, like, reaching out to schools and things like that, is important, because then it does show that there's a truly authentic, you know, interest there.
If somebody wants to get more information on esports, specifically in Illinois high schools, is there a place that you'd recommend looking that up?
Twitter actually is one of the easiest ways to kind of keep up with information. I know early on when we started our program, it was hard for me to find competitions and find people. Made an actual organization Twitter, and it just blew up. Well, colleges, high schools, things like that. So Twitter is a great place to go. The IHSEA, I believe, is at IHSEA. I would say that's probably the easiest place. I know they have a website too, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
That's what Google's for.
Yeah. but yeah, that's where I would say to start. Obviously, reaching out to schools with programs is also a great place to start, especially like if you're a student or you're a parent of a student and you're like, this is an interest form. I don't know if the framework is there. It's not as hard as you would think. So having that student reach out to their school reaching out to schools who have done it. I know there's multiple schools that have reached out saying, like, hey, you know, what is this process like? And even just kind of giving them ideas like, do this, don't do that. It makes it better for it to grow.
Are we seeing any like backroom recruiting deals going on yet? Like we see with the University of Kentucky and all that.
Well,
if it gets as popular as it's going to be, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be some of that.
I think the most difficult thing for colleges right now is that it's almost the same thing that's going on here in our state, right? The NCAA, it hasn't sanctioned esports yet, so it's technically not an athletic scholarship.
So no rules and regs.
It becomes more difficult for, you know, a university. I know some universities, they recruit a kid, right? Person comes in, plays about 3 months, because these kids are the top, you know, 1/100th of a percent of the people playing that game, then they go pro.
Yeah.
And now the college has lost out on all that money, right? There's there's no safety nets. It's kind of like the wild west right now for them.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, like, how much do you pay a kid to come play? You know,
free
what's the
market
turnaround?
Man, that's where I'm at. You start off at one point, and if they start saying no and start going to other schools, maybe you go up. It, you know, it's what the open market is.
Yeah,
is
it
for,
truly
right?
is. Yeah, it truly is the capitalistic spirit there.
And what are some of the schools around the area that are offering scholarships? I know Robert Morris was one of the first 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, so they're probably the biggest in the immediate area. Indiana Tech, like I said, Maryville, Columbia College.
As you think of that, it's kind of interesting too to think about. So I need to enroll obviously at Robert Morris University, but say I live in Tennessee. Can I take online courses and play on their esports team? Because you could probably do that remotely anyway. There's a lot of those things to figure out.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Most programs want you in the building, sitting in the lab. Similar to, like, you know, the benefits to us having the kids practice at school, right? Have the time for, hey, you know, we're gonna wake you up cognitively by doing physical exercise. We're gonna sit down and talk face to face. That's the one thing that's probably the most difficult, is that, like, you kind of hear about it when, let's say a basketball team starts turning and yelling at each other on the sidelines when things aren't going right, but they're doing it face to face, right? And you might go, oh, that's bad body language. In esports, that's compounded, right? If you're not sitting next to the person, or even if you are, you have headsets on, right? You're talking, you're looking at a screen. I'm not making eye contact with you. the mental portion and trusting the other people can really go out of control. So having that face-to-face is really important, I think.
Well, if it's not obvious yet, I find this fascinating as hell, and I can't wait to see where this ends up. We're going to keep an eye on Oswego and Oswego East and Mattia and all the other local schools. We'll keep an eye on the IHSA, see where that ends up. I got to get a jersey, man.
Yeah,
gonna hook me up with an Oswego High School esports jersey. That's sharp. I love it, man.
Thanks.
I appreciate your time. Do you have any big competitions coming up? Or when's the season? I don't even know when the season is.
Is there a season?
I don't even know.
So that's the other hard part, is that you could play in a tournament every weekend. Right. So sometimes it becomes tiring as like the coach, because his kids are like, oh, can we go play in this? I'm like, I guess we could go play in that. Yeah, I guess that tournament's fine. But mainly I think it's like second semester for the most part.
So I don't know when that is. So you're about finished up because school's over?
Right? Yeah, we're all done. We were done. Our season this year was probably mid-December to about April.
Well, good luck in your off-season workouts, and good luck the next season, all right?
Thank you so much.
Visit my page at 959theriver.com for links on more information about esports in Illinois high schools.